Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have discussed that Salah is so important in the life of a Muslim that anything that became a barrier, anything that prevented a person from performing Salah, Shariat has rendered those things as makruh. For example, we discussed yesterday that for a person to sleep after the Maghrib Salah, that is makruh, because there is a possibility that a person will not wake up for the Isha Salah. Unless there is somebody that takes the responsibility that I'll wake this person up, then it is a different case altogether. Similarly, sitting after Isha Salah and engaging in some futile exercise, today's time sitting on the phone, or a person sits and watches television. So these are all futile exercises, and because of this, many people, they miss their Fajr Salah. So much of time is wasted in soccer matches and so many other haram activities. So this is also, it is written that this is makruh. So namaz is so important that the fuqaha have written that a woman that is experiencing labor pains, and we know labor pains is generally very difficult for a woman, even while experiencing labor pain, she is not exempted from salah. Even at that stage, she has to perform her salah. Another masala that the fuqaha have written, just so that we understand the importance of salah, if a person, his clothes become napak, all his clothes are napak, to the extent that it is written that he's got no other clothes, and there's no way of him getting other clothes also. So now what does he do? Does he perform salah or not? So the fuqaha say that if a quarter of the clothing, if 25% or more than 25% of the clothing is still pak, then a person has to perform salah with those napak clothing. Whilst wearing napak clothing, then to salah won't fall off. He will have to perform his salah. And if all the clothing is napak, or less than quarter of the clothing is pak, then a person has a choice that either he removes all his clothing and performs salah without clothing, because he can't get any other clothing. Perhaps this person is stranded somewhere in the jungle, so he's got no other way of getting clothing. So he can remove all his clothing and perform salah, or with the napak clothing he can perform salah. Obviously it will be better to read with the napak clothing so that his satar is not exposed, his satar is concealed. But see, even under such circumstances, a person is not exempted from salah. Where all your clothing is napak, then also a person has to perform salah with those napak clothing. Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. So one day Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi came to Imam Sahib rahmatullahi, and he asked a question. He was a young boy at that time. So he told Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi, he said, tell me that if a young boy who hadn't reached the age of bulugh, he was still nabaligh, and he performed Isha Salah, and after performing Isha Salah, he went to sleep. He went to sleep as a nabaligh boy. And then he becomes baligh. That Isha Salah, does it have to be repeated? Or is the Isha Salah that he performed when he was not baligh valid? Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi said that he has to repeat his salah, because that time he was not baligh. So the amal that the nabaligh children do, that is considered as nafil. If a father, he took his son for hajj, and he was nabaligh, that is nafil hajj. Later on when he becomes baligh, hajj becomes compulsory on him, he has to perform his faraz hajj again. So similarly, that salah that he had performed, that salah was in the state when he was not baligh. So he has to repeat the Isha salah again. So Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi went one side and he commenced his salah. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi realized that this boy has asked a question in regards to himself. He's a very intelligent young boy. So after some time, he one day came to the madrasa, of Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi, and he said that I want to enroll myself in your madrasa, I want to study. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi asked him, he said that, are you hafiz of the Quran Sharif? So he says, no, I'm not hafiz of the Quran. So he says, in order to study in this madrasa, you have to be hafiz of the Quran, because that was the time of ijtihad, when they used to dive into the ocean of Quran and Hadith, and they would extract masail from Quran, directly from Quran and Hadith. Today there's no mujtahid really left, no mujtahid in the world. We that are giving fatawa, what we say, we are naqila fatawa. We just narrating from the kitab, the work the fuqaha have done for us. We just taking the masla from there, and we conveying the masail to the people. But these were mujtahideen in those days. So he said that in order for you to extract masail from Quran, you'll have to be hafiz of the Quran. So it's a condition, it's a requisite that you have to be hafiz of the Quran. So Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi left and he went away. After 7 days, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi returned, and he told Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi that, test me, that in this period of 7 days, I have memorized the entire Quran Sharif. So he was a very intelligent young boy. So look, even at that age he came and he was concerned of his salah. The fuqaha have written another masla, that if a person is out somewhere in the jungle and there is no one around him, now he wants to perform salah but he does not know the direction of the qibla and there is no one to ask also. So here the fuqaha have written that a person has to exercise his mind, what we refer to as taharri. He has to make taharri, he has to exercise his mind, and then if his mind says that the qibla is in a certain direction, he will have to face that direction and perform salah. So if he exercised his mind and he performed salah in a certain direction, and thereafter somebody came up and they told him that, you know, you have performed salah in the opposite direction, you're supposed to be facing in a different direction. Because he had made taharri, he exercised his mind and he performed his salah, so his salah will be valid. But here also no excuse, you don't know which direction is the qibla, you will exercise your mind and you will perform your salah. In Fatawa Darul Uloom Deoband, a masla comes that a person that is born deaf, he is dumb, and he is therefore unable to recite Quran Sharif. So how will this person perform salah? So the fatwa has been given over there that because this person is dumb, he cannot recite, so the qiraat will drop off. Qiraat will not be farad upon him because he is unable to recite. However, he also, this dumb and deaf person, namaz doesn't follow from him also. He also must come for namaz. And he must stand in the qiyam posture. When the imam goes into ruku, sajda, he will follow the imam. In the sitting posture, he will sit. All the postures of namaz he will do. But this person, even on his, if he is reading on his own, he will not recite anything. If he does not discharge salah according to his ability is just to make qiyam, go into ruku, qada, etc. If he doesn't discharge salah according to his ability, he will also be sinful. So nobody is excused. A person can't stand, Sharia says you sit down. Person that can't sit, he is so sick, he cannot even sit on a chair and perform salah. Sharia says no problem, you lie down. And through ishara, through indication, you must perform your salah. Many people in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, everyone has the desire to do a lot of nafil and perform a lot of nawafil salah. But preference should always be given to our qaza salah. If a person has qaza, namaz that is remaining, then that enjoys preference over the nawafil salah. If a person can fulfill all his qaza first, then that is what should be done. To the extent that when a person passes away, or before he passes away, when he makes his will, so in the will it is stipulated that first from the wealth of a person, his burial expenses should be paid. After his burial expenses, if a person has left behind any debt, then his debt must be paid. Even though that all his money, his entire estate is used in paying the debt, if he owes people money, then you pay the debt, and even if the inheritors get nothing, no problem. But the debt of a person must be paid in full. Why? He is responsible in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He will be taken to task. So first you will pay for his burial expenses, then you will pay for his debt. And the third thing is a person must make a bequest. A person, any bequest that he has, those bequests, those wasiyat should be noted. In there, a person should make a bequest, for example, if he has outstanding salah. That so many salahs I have outstanding and this should be paid from my estate. But only that also only up to 1/3 of the estate. And then finally, if anything remains, then that will be distributed amongst the heirs. So look at the importance of salam. Nowadays when people are travelling by plane, many people ask this question also. Many people are travelling by plane. So many airlines now, they do not permit you to stand and perform salah. They say you must read salah in your seat for your safety. You must perform salah in your seat. And many of them are Muslim airlines that belong to Muslim countries. There are certain airline companies that still allow Muslims to, alhamdulillah, stand and perform salah. Like, I think Saudi Airlines, they allow it. But many other airlines, they do not permit it. So, what does a person do in such a situation? So, here the muftis have given the fatwa. They say that you can sit and perform your salah in your seat. But when you land, then you will have to repeat that salah again. Whatever salah was performed whilst we are sitting in the seat, after landing, a person must perform that salah again. We did the masla of a mazur also. That even a mazur, a person that is continuously bleeding or continuously suffering from urine drops, he also is not exempted from salah. To the extent that even whilst that blood is dripping, obviously there's many other conditions attached to it. We can find out the masla if need be. That even whilst that blood is dripping or the urine is dripping, then to a person is required to perform salah. And it is mentioned, the fuqaha have mentioned that any person that has commenced his salah, it is haram for him to break that salah. Person can't just start his salah and then without a valid shari'i reason, he just breaks that salah. It's impermissible, irrespective whether it's a faraz namaz, whether it's wajib namaz, whether it's nafil namaz. When you start your salah, a person has to complete that salah. Yes, there are certain exceptions to the rule. For example, somebody wants to steal your possession, your shoes, your car, someone wants to steal and you in salah. So at that time now, or they want to steal another person's possession, now you can break your salah to go and protect your possession. There it becomes permissible now to break the salah and then go and protect your possession, and then you come back and complete your salah. Or the fuqaha have written that if you end one salah, if a person is performing salah, and then he ends that particular salah for the perfection of salah, which I'll give an example now, for the perfection of salah, then also it's acceptable. For example, a person, he's a musafir, he's a traveler. Now, he came into the masjid and he didn't know there was no time board that was there, what time salah takes place. So he thought that, let me start my salah, I'll perform my salah and I'll carry on. So just when he said Allahu Akbar and he started his salah, he finished maybe one rakat, the imam came in and the salah with jamaat commenced. So now, to perfect his salah, to get the salah with jamaat, it becomes permissible for this person to break that salah that he was performing individually and now to come and join the jamaat. But here also there are conditions which we should find out. Or for example, there is a person that needs assistance. For example, the mother, the parents call the child, elderly parents, there is nobody else to assist. And at that time the parent calls the child to assist, they in some desperate need. So now it becomes permissible for the child to break his salah to attend to the needs of a parent. Or a person is walking and there's a well that is in front. Person is blind and there's a possibility he'll fall into that well. Then also it becomes permissible to break one salah and assist a person. So this is the rank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to salah. Therefore if a person, he just gets this one aspect of his life right, if he corrects just his salah, then inshallah his entire life will be corrected. If namaz is corrected in the life of a person, his entire life will be corrected. This kitab, Anwarus Salah, that we're studying, this is a kitab of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh, he was Shaheed, he was made martyred, he was martyred fighting against the British. And many of our Akabirin, many of our pious predecessors, they fought against the British when the British had come to India in approximately 1857. And many of our Akabirin were also imprisoned. To be imprisoned, this has always been, Hazrat Yusuf Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was also put into prison. Our Akabirin, they were also put into prison. Imam Anifa Rahmatullahi, he was also in prison. Imam Ahmad Rahmatullahi, in the Masla of Khalq Quran, where Imam Ahmad Rahmatullahi said that the Quran is not a creation of Allah, it's a sifat of Allah Ta'ala. So here there was a great difference of opinion, because of which Imam Ahmad Rahmatullahi also was in prison. So our Akabirin, our Aimmah Mujtahideen, many of them were put into prison. So Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi was imprisoned as well. When they fought against the British, Shaykhul Hind was imprisoned. And Hazrat will be lashed daily on his back. His clothing would be removed and he would be lashed on his back. But they had so much of love for deen that Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi, whilst in prison on the day of Jumu'ah, he would dress up very well. He would wear good clean clothing, like how a person is supposed to dress up, apply ether, etc. in honor of the day of Jumu'ah. And then Hazrat, after dressing up, he would come to the gates of the prison. And he will then say, Ya Allah, that this was within my ability. I could come up to this point. What was within my ability, I have done. And Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi was also such that he would buy his Qurbani animal 1 year in advance. 1 year before Qurbani, he will buy his animal. And that animal would then follow Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi. When he would go to teach, go to Darul Uloom, then that animal will follow him. And it will become part and parcel of his life. And then few days before Qurbani, he will feed that animal jalebi. They knew what was the ruh, what was the spirit, what was the reality of deen. And so when the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi, we're saying that he was in prison. So when the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi was in prison, then his student, that Madni Rahmatullahi, went with him. And he remained with Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi in prison. So it came close to the month of Ramadan, and the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi started crying. So Hazrat Madni Rahmatullahi asked him, he said, Hazrat, what's the problem? Why are you crying? Did the British hit you a lot today? What is it? So Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi said, Hussein Ahmed, that Ramadan is coming and we have no hufaz. We're going to spend Ramadan without Taraweeh Salah. Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi was not a hafiz of the Quran. Hazrat Madni Rahmatullahi also, he was not a hafiz of the Quran Sharif. So he said, we won't have Taraweeh Salah at night. That is why I'm crying. So it's mentioned, Hazrat Madhi Rahmatullah Alayh told Hazrat Shaykh Al-Hind, he said, Hazrat, don't worry, you make dua to Allah Ta'ala, and I will learn one para every day, and I will read that in Taraweeh Salah. So every day Hazrat Madhi Rahmatullah Alayh would learn one para of the Quran. And then he would perform that, read that in Taraweeh Salah. So in 1 month, he became Hafiz of the Quran Sharif. Also, he had so much of ihtiram, so much of respect for his Ustad, Hazrat Shaykh Al-Hind Rahmatullah Alayh, that in the prison it would be cold. And the water also that they would have would be cold water. So that water would be put into some type of a pitcher. So Hazrat Madhi Rahmatullah Alayh, he knew that Hazrat will wake up at the time of Tahajjud, he will make wudu and he will perform Salah. So he knew the water is also very cold. So he put the water, he will fill water in the pitcher, and then he will keep that next to his stomach. And in this way, he will sleep the entire night. So in the morning, obviously the water can't get hot. With the heat of the body, the water is not going to get hot. But at least it will be warm, or to some extent it will be tolerable, where the Shaykh Al-Hind Rahmatullah Alayh can now make wudu, but not with so much of difficulty. So this is how he had served his Ustad. And then how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had accepted Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Alayh. I myself, I'm in need of it, I require it. That these adab, these etiquette, khidmat of our Ustad, khidmat of our Shaykh, Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq to implement in my life. This is when a person, he prospers. How Hazrat mentioned many times, he said, dua di jati hai. That dua is given. Dua li nahi jati. You don't ask for dua. Dua is given. When a person, he goes either to his Shaykh or to his Ustad, whoever it might be, and he serves him to such an extent that automatically dua comes out. You don't have to say, Hazrat, make dua for me. You don't have to say, Ustad, make dua for me. He gets so happy with you that dua comes out of his heart. And when that dua comes out naturally from his heart, then see how Allah Ta'ala accepts a person and how far doesn't a person get. Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Alayhi, after way he thought in the Haram of Medina Sharif. He thought hadith in the Haram of Medina Sharif. One day they were doing the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being hayat, being alive in his Rawza-e Mubarak, in his Qabr-e Mubarak. So one student, he made ishkal, he wanted some clarification on this. So Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Alayhi replied, he answered him. After a little while, another student, he lifted his hand, he also wanted clarification. So Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Alayhi replied to him as well. Then a third student lifted up his hand, and he also made ishkal, he wanted clarification on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being alive in the Qabr. So Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah just looked at the Rawza-e Mubarak. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting over there. He came out and he was sitting over there. So this is how Allah Ta'ala then accepts a person. One alim, he came for one of the jalsas, the Darulum jalsas, and he was explaining. He said that there was a group of youngsters, they were playing. So they used to play a game in the previous times, which I also haven't seen. They called it Guli Danda. You hit some piece of wood and they used to play this game. So one youngster from amongst all the youngsters, whenever he would hit the wood, then one person that was there, he would stand up and he would quickly go and fetch the wood and he would bring it and give it to him. So then somebody asked him, they said that all the boys are playing, you don't get up to pick up the wood. When this boy, he hits, when he plays, then you get up and then you go and fetch the wood for this boy. Why in particular this particular boy? So he said, this is my Ustad's son. This is my Ustad's son, and out of respect of my Ustad, I respect him as well. So this is that level of respect Allah Ta'ala give us. As Hazrat mentioned a few days ago about Mawla Badri Alam Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. That Mawla Badri Alam Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, very senior alim, he used to teach in Dabel, and then he passed away in Madinatul Munawwara. And he is buried in Madinatul Munawwara. So in Madina Munawwara, after a few years, they reopened the graves and they rebury people. Because of shortage of space, so many people passed away. Everyone's desire is to pass away in Madina Sharif. So when they opened up the qabr of Mawla Badri Alam Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, they found that his body was intact. So they put a mark over there and they closed it up. So they won't open it up again. So then they asked Hazrat's son, Mawlana Aftab Sahab, that what do you think, that why Allah Ta'ala had blessed your father with such a high rank? So he said that Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this because he had so much of respect for Hafiz of Quran, for a Hafiz of Quran, that he won't even stretch his leg in the direction of the Hafiz of Quran. Such a great alim, yet he had so much of respect even for a Hafiz of Quran. I was explained that Maulana Rafiq Sahab Haturani, their father, he would open the door for his sons. When they became Hafiz of the Quran, he would actually open the door for them. He was senior, he was the father, but he would open it for his sons. So Allah Ta'ala give us that respect, that adab for our elders, for huffaz, for ulama, etc. Wala Salim Dorasab, Damud Barakatum, he mentioned that any person that is against ulama, that speaks against ulama, that makes ghibat against ulama, deen won't come into his family. His children won't get the knowledge of deen. And he said, if it ever happens that his children, they get, Allah Ta'ala gives them the knowledge of deen, they won't be those people that will be from amongst the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He said, they will always assist the firqai batila, the deviated sects. They will join them, they will assist them in promoting their work. So any person that shows disrespect to ulama, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will deprive them. And then he also mentioned that why do we have to go far? He spoke of one particular area in England. And he said that look at the people of this area. They all look like dini people. They all look like respectable people. They dress according to Sharia. Their homes are according to Sharia. But they don't respect the ulama of deen. So look how deprived they are. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hasn't blessed them with the knowledge of deen. So when a person, he wants knowledge, he wants knowledge of deen, he wants his children to benefit, he wants his progeny to benefit, then always respect the ulama of deen. When we respect them, even though a person might be far from deen, but he respects ulama, he loves ulama, then Allah will give deen in his children, Allah Ta'ala will give deen in his progeny. And this perhaps can continue also. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the understanding. So here we are saying Hazrat Badri Rahmatullahi, out of respect for his ustad, he served his ustad, in 1 month he became Hafiz al-Quran. Maulana Anoti Rahmatullahi also, it is mentioned that in those days when they used to go for Hajj, they used to travel by ship. The boats used to take them. And those ships used to move according to the wind. However the wind will blow, that's how the ship would then sail, the boat would then sail. So sometimes to reach from India to go to Jeddah could take up to 6 months. So they were traveling and the month of Ramadan came in. Maulana Anoti Rahmatullahi also was that Hafiz al-Quran. So the first night they read from Surah Fil, Alam Tara, right till Surah Nas. And Hazrat said that he was already old at that stage. So he said that how is it that the month of Ramadan passed and no khatam of the Quran? They couldn't understand. No khatam of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. So Hazrat Nanoti Rahmatullah in that time, in that 1 month, he also memorized the whole Quran. And he read that Quran in Taraweeh Salah. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. This is the mu'ajizah. This is the miracle of the Quran. How people have memorized the Quran. Like Imam Muhammad, 1 week he memorized the Quran. Hisham bin Kalbi, it mentioned, he told Muhammad bin Sirri Rahmatullah Alayh, that I had done hifz in such a manner that perhaps nobody has done hifz in this manner. So he explained, he said that he was weak in his hifz and his uncle used to always pick on him in regards to his hifz. Normally his boys are naughty, they don't like to learn. So this boy also, he never used to like to learn, so his uncle used to always pick on him. So one day he decided that let me go into one room, and he locked himself in his room for a period of 3 days. And it's mentioned in 3 days, he memorized the entire Quran. 3 days he memorized the Quran. So this is a mu'jizah, this is a miracle of the Quran. Mawla Zafar Ahmad, Uthmani Rahmatullahi, he mentioned in Burma, there was one girl, 4 years old. And this girl, her parents say, she was born Hafiza. This is Allah Ta'ala's kalam. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah Ta'ala says, we'll protect it. So she was born Hafiza. And when she was 4 years old, her father would take her to all the masajid. And then she would sit and she would read. So then people would come, give money. Because everyone was so amazed, so impressed. Look at this small girl, how she's reading Quran. So they will come and they will give her money. So Mullah Zafar Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi told the father, see, don't take money from the people. It's Allah Ta'ala's kalam. Let her read, but don't take money. And if you're going to take money from people, then I fear that you're going to lose this child. And he says that a few days after that, or a few weeks after that, whatever it must have been, this child then passed away. So this boy also in 3 days, he memorized the Quran. And then he said that I committed such a mistake that perhaps nobody in the world committed such a mistake. Sometimes when a person, he achieves a lot, then pride comes into him. And when pride comes into a person, then he drops also. A person when he's reading Taraweeh and he thinks, and he's reading with no mistakes, now he thinks there's no one like me. So when that pride comes in, now he's going to make mistakes. Why? Because that pride came in. As long as he remains humble, I'm weak, Allah Ta'ala's fazal, I'm reading, he'll continue. But when the pride comes in, then he's going to drop. And everything in life, whatever a person does, when pride comes in, he'll get stuck somewhere. Person is a mechanic, he's the best mechanic. Now he's fixing the car. So somebody came, he said, okay, this is a problem. He said, oh, piece of cake, I'll sort it out. Sort it out just now, give me about 5 minutes and I'll sort it out. So he said that I'm a master, I can do a piece of cake. Now when he goes to fix it, now he can't get this bolt open or that bolt open. And he spends hours, it's a 10-15 minute job, he spends hours fixing it. Why? That pride came into a person. So here also he said that I committed such an error which nobody else committed. And what error? He says that I noticed that my beard is gone long. And it is the practice of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala that when the beard reaches a fist length, that is on all sides, the beard must be one fist length on all sides, then a person what is beyond that fist length, that must then be cut. So he said that when my beard had reached a fist length, so I held my beard and I went to cut my beard. So he said, what happened? Instead of cutting the bottom part of the beard, I cut on the top. So in fact, he cut his entire beard off. So he said, what I have achieved, perhaps nobody have achieved in the world. And what mistake I had made, perhaps nobody made such a mistake. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. So in any way, the ulama of Dioban, our Akabirin, they played a very, very important role fighting against the British. And this is one of the reasons why Darulum Dioban was established. Because they realized that we don't have the strength, we don't have the arms, the ammunition, the weapons to fight against the British. What they have, we don't have. But through Darulum Dioban, we will propagate and spread deen throughout the four corners of the world. And how successful. Today, perhaps all the madrasas, or rather, a major portion of the madrasas that are in the world, these are all the branches of Darulum Dioban. Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullahi, the British had issued a warrant of arrest for Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullahi. And the British, they were in search of him. So somebody told them that go to a certain masjid, you'll find Maulana Qasim Sahib there. So they went to that masjid, and Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullahi was there. But he was a simple man, wearing lungi, wearing his kurta. Our Kabirin, this has always been their way, that they remain simple, no pride whatsoever, humble people. So he was wearing lungi, kurta in the masjid. So this person, the British police or whoever it must have been, officer came in and he found him. And he said, no, I'm looking for this man, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi. So see, he didn't have pictures. Here also we learn, see, there were no photos all over. If there were photos, there was no need for him to ask for Maulana Qasim Nanotvi. He would have seen the picture, this is the man I was looking for. So see, there's so much of benefit in what Allah Ta'ala has made haram. There's only goodness in it. That no photography, stay away from photography. Anyway, I don't want to go into that. But nevertheless, he asked Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullahi, he said that I'm looking for this man, where is he? So Maulana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi didn't want to lie. So what he did, where he was standing, he took one step and he went to the other side. Took one step there. And then he said, he was here just now. Just now he was over here. This is what you call Tauriya. So see, the British were in search of him. So they were also harassed by the British. Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi, in the time of the British, they had all over, they had put up courts, magistrate courts, all over in India. So they were informed that Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi, he has guns, he has some weapons. So they caught Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi, and they brought him to one of the courts. So then they asked Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi that, do you have guns? So Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi had guns, in reality he had. But now he can't tell them that he has guns. But he was a man that always in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, he was making tasbih. So they asked him, you got gun? He said, yeh mera hathiyar hai. This is my weapon against shaitan. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ, man who turns away from the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, zikr of Rahman, نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ shaitan, we appoint shaitan over him. فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينِ, he becomes his companion. So this helps me against shaitan. So this is my weapon against shaitan. So he said that then Allah Ta'ala also helps them. One person was going past. Hey, what are you doing with this man? Ye to hamare mahalla ka muazzin hai. He's a muazzin of our place. Leave him and let him go. So then the British said, they looked at him, they say, he looks like muazzin also. Like a person that's not, although the rank of the muazzin is very, very high. But unfortunately, we don't give him the rank that is supposed to be given. So they said, let him go. So they let him go. So many of our akabirin, they were troubled by the British. So our British, they fought against, So the Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi also, he had lost his life fighting against the British. Inshallah, we'll continue from this point.